So in chapter 5 of his letter to the Christians at Ephesus, everybody's favorite reading, right? St. Paul does more than make those of us firmly rooted in modern Western culture uncomfortable. He does that, to be sure, but he does more. What he's doing is showing forth what holy marriage is supposed to be. And each one of us needs to hear it. It is a type of and the chief metaphor for man's relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. All right, so following a whole list of expectations that probably make us fidget a little bit in our pews, right, even though they shouldn't, the Holy Apostle says, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What St. Paul means to show us in terms that we will clearly understand and not confuse is what the love of Christ is what the headship of Christ actually is, what true headship is supposed to look like, and what our reciprocal submission to him ought to look like because of that headship, because of that love. Right? Love and headship with Christ cost him what? Are you awake this morning? His life! They cost him his life. And is expected of every single husband here. Christ put himself into the fowler's snare. He threw himself in front of us to take the deadly arrows of the evil one, that he might love and protect us, his beloved. That is what headship looks like. He's taken us to himself and has cleansed us through the water and the word and the washing of rebirth and baptism. And he has set us before him as radiant and beautiful and lovely of this one flesh union with himself, right? The body to the head, united in love. Without blemish, without stain, but holy and righteous in his sight. In the eyes of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, we are lovely. We are beautiful. We are the apple of his eye. And so, because of that, the Holy Church submits to him without fear. Because we know that our one flesh union, who is Christ himself, will never harm us. He will never shame us. He will never embarrass us in front of the masses. He will never abuse nor neglect us. We trust in him to love us because this is who he has proven himself to be to us. This is what husbands and wives ought to be for one another. Ought to be. Autumn. Holy marriage is to show forth the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. Our marriages are meant to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over again to the world. Right? People should be able to look at our relationship with one another and know something of God in that relationship. Know something of who Jesus Christ is. Right, of the same fidelity, the same love, the same perseverance, the same forgiveness should be shown forth in our marriages. Now I want to tell you about another marriage that is relayed to us in the sacred scripture. Long before St. Paul writes these words to the Ephesians, there was Hosea. Arguably the most unhappy of the prophets. And Hosea's miserable estate is due to the fact that the wife that he loves, Gomer, right? Horrible name, one of the worst names in the Bible, right, Gomer? The wife that he loves does not love him. She does not love him. And she proves it to him over and over and over again. And that is only the beginning of the prophet's agony. Some of you know this. Because she doesn't love her husband, but sometimes she loves other men. And when she's not loving other men, she sells her body to those who will pay for it. This was the lot that Hosea is given to bear. He loves her, he marries her, and he proves his love for her over and over again. He serves her, he self-sacrifices for her. And his life and his soul are ripped apart for it by her ongoing betrayal, just over and over again. Saddened longing marks the prophet's life. His children, if they were even that, are complete disappointments to Hosea throughout his life, and they serve only to embitter Hosea and his existence. Now, the most powerful scene that we are given to see of Hosea's life in the sacred scripture is when Hosea has to go down to the slave market with immense, immense shame in front of everyone that he knows, in front of all of his neighbors, all of his family, right into the middle of town he has to go. All the while, the crowd is there, mocking him, making fun of him, jeering at him for having such an unfaithful wife and mother of his children. And you remember what he's going down there for. He's going to buy back his wife because she squandered her earnings as a prostitute. And now she whores herself for the profit of another man. And the man that now presently owns her doesn't love her, surely, right? Doesn't love her. In fact, he's looking to sell her to someone else because he cares that little about her. Because she's worthless to him. Worthless to him. A man who will subject her to who knows what. Who knows what horrible, indecent things. That's what he goes down there. 30 pieces of silver is what it costs. That's the price of a slave. But unlike the lucrative betrayers of our Lord that are in the Lord's own temple, Hosea doesn't have it. He doesn't have that much money. And so he goes and he scrapes together as much as he can. Still not enough. He still doesn't have enough to buy his own wife out of slavery. And so he takes all of the grain from his kitchen, right? His food, his children's food, to make up this difference that exists, to bring to these people to buy back his own wife. Humiliation and shame and heartbreak. Those really aren't strong enough words, are they? And yet there is Hosea for his wife. Because even though she has not loved him, he still loves her. And like God, he will have her back again. He will pay the price. He will pay what it costs, both in money and in shame. And he will restore her to his household. That is what headship looks like. That is what it looks like. And he takes her back. And he doesn't take her back as his master, or as her master. He doesn't take her back as her pimp. He takes her back as his one flesh union. That's what he takes her back as. He takes her back as the queen of his household. Now, of course, I speak of Christ and his church. But Hosea and Gomer aren't just hypothetical figures, like in this allegory that's just made up. They lived. They were real people. They walked this earth. They cheated. They betrayed. They cried and they forgave. They were lost and they were found. Hosea loved Gomer back to life. That's what he did for his wife. It's in this way, because this is what St. Paul is getting at, it's in this way that husband and wife are to love one another, to serve one another, to sacrifice for one another. Right? Hosea to Gomer. Hosea for Gomer. Hosea with Gomer. As followers of Christ, we are summoned to a love that does not quit just because the other person has. To a love that is courageous enough to be humiliated. A love that does not end, even in the face of what? Name it. Anything. Infidelity. Or faithlessness, or difficulty, right? Marriages go through seasons, right? We all know this. Everyone who's married knows this. All goes through seasons, even in the face of difficulty and hell on earth. A love that runs after and lifts the other one up and shines like the sun for that person when they need it. Just like Hosea, just like Christ. That's love. Right? That's submission. That's service. Now it happens that sometimes, our spouses are easy to love. Like me. Right? Don't ask me. But like when they've done something nice for us. You know, they've fixed the dishwasher. They've cleaned the kitty litter. Right? They cook dinner, bring you coffee in the morning, right? Right? Times that they're not always asking us to do all this stuff for us, right? The stuff that we don't want to do. It's easy to love our spouse when they're supportive of us. It's easy to love our spouse when they say nice things to and about us to other people, right? It's very easy to love them then, right? And we are swelled with joy and love for the gift that God has given to us in our one flesh union. I mean, how can Gomer's heart not be swelled with love after looking, seeing, witnessing everything that Hosea, her husband, has just done for her, despite all that she has done to him? How can it not? But I'll tell you a secret. That's not always the case. Not always easy to love our spouse, right? Because sometimes they're lazy. Sometimes they're cranky. I mean, not me, but I'm sure other people. Sometimes they're just difficult, right? Sometimes they step right over the clean clothes that are folded and set on the stairs that need to be taken up. Right? And sometimes they do it over and over again. Sometimes wives don't want to be wives and husbands don't want to be husbands. They don't want to carry the clothes. Old scabs are ripped off of old wounds. And the demons come rushing in to take advantage of that. And they do. How then can Hosea keep on? I just briefly describe what this man went through in his life, right? And that's all we're given, just a glimpse into the life of Hosea and Gomer. When his beloved forgets everything about him and goes running back to Egypt, looking for Pharaoh's bondage once again. How can he do this? How can he go on? Because Hosea does not do this alone. Nowhere in holy marriage are you ever told that you walk alone in Christian marriage, in holy marriage. You're never told that in Scripture. Christ washes. Christ cleanses. Christ purifies his bride with water and the word to be radiant and beautiful and holy and righteous before him. The Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father through the Son, is bestowed on us in holy baptism. He just gives it over to us. And it's not like St. Paul just throws this bit in here about baptism just willy-nilly, right? Just by happenstance, right? We need the grace of holy baptism, right? Look at verse 26 here. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That she might be holy. Holy baptism is the mighty hand of God at work. It is not just some mere sign, mere symbol. It is the chosen means through which God has promised, not just that he does, but that he has promised to work on us, to join us to himself, and then make us better, right? Lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to make us holier and more like Jesus Christ. It is God at work on you and for you and with you. It's only with God's Spirit, only with his Spirit, that we're able to love in the way that Christ has loved us. Which is how? Sacrificially. Sacrificially. Forsaking ourselves for the sake of the other. And so baptism is the foundation of faith. It is the foundation of salvation, and therefore it is the foundation of holy marriage. This, by the way, is why St. Paul says that we should not be unequally yoked, right? That is, we should not be married to non-Christians. It's that simple. And don't blame the messenger. That's not my teaching, that's the Bible's teaching. And Hosea's, he's not only an example of this kind of love. He's not the only one in the Bible. You see this all over the place. Think of Joseph and the way that his brothers treated him, right? And at the end of it, what does Joseph say? He goes up to his brothers and said, "You meant all of this for evil. You meant all of this stuff that you did for me, to me, for evil. You meant to kill me. God meant it for good. God meant it for good." And there's others as well. Mostly unsung down through the ages, some probably among us today, who live within their own secrets and their own shame, but who choose to love unto the very end, and whose silence and forgiveness and love shields the honor of their spouse. There are people who are so filled with the love of Christ because they've witnessed it, that they forget themselves and throw themselves into others wholeheartedly, without even thinking of themselves. They love because they have first been loved. They have been shown love. They're gomers, right? They're gomers. Filled with wonder and filled with joy, these people who recognize the improbable and undeserved and unbelievable love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. There's certainly been other Hoseas in history, other Josephs. And they're known to the holy angels, and they're known to the Father. And their works are praised in heaven, and they will be forever. Their works will be praised forever in heaven. But mostly there have been Gomers, not Hoseas. People who have received mercy people who have received forgiveness, when what they deserved was shame and to be sold into slavery. Holy marriage, beloved of the Lord, has to, absolutely has to be built on the same forgiveness that you have received from Jesus Christ. Has to. If it is not, it will fail. Right? If it is not, it will cease to be holy marriage. And it may very well cease to be a marriage at all. But this is what our world does not get about holy marriage. Right? They want freedom in marriage. Right? We all know, we've all seen it. Freedom in marriage. But what they mean by freedom is license. And they want to do whatever they want to do. The world no longer understands freedom to mean duty and sacrifice and responsibility. That's what freedom truly means. That's what the Bible means by freedom. And that's a problem. That's a cultural problem that we are having to endure and will for decades. Will for decades. I mean, we wonder why marriage is under attack in our country. This is why. This is why. So not one of us is Hosea, right? At least not all of us. At least not all the time. But all of us are gone. Every one of us is gone. Even Hosea is gone. Because we all live by mercy. We all live by the grace of God and the forgiveness that he has given us in his son Jesus. There's no other way that we can join in a partnership such as holy marriage apart from forgiveness. There just isn't. And what does Gomer do when her husband loves her and forgives her and comes to her and shows her such immense sacrifice for her? She loves him, right? She loves him. What does Gomer do when all of this happens? Do you remember? She weeps for joy. She weeps for joy at seeing what he's done for her. How he has loved her. What he's endured to have her back to himself. And her heart swells and her soul is flooded with love. Her whole being is flooded with love. Hosea loves Gomer. And Gomer, by grace, by the same love that she's been shown, loves Hosea at the end of it. It's initiation. I don't know if you noticed this or not. The initiation of that love was one-sided, wasn't it? It started with Hosea, but it doesn't stay one-sided. Gomer, basking in the sunshine of her husband's love, really and truly loves him. Finally loves him. And she lives the rest of her life through it. The Holy Church, made radiant and blameless and beautiful and forgiven, loves and submits to Christ. Because what else is there? What else is there? There is nothing else. Nothing. If you are to have a holy marriage, one that's not been only made by God, but marriage that belongs to God, then there's nothing else than him who has been crucified for you to make you his spotless bride. He's got to be your model. And if you have some idyllic version of what marriage is supposed to be, throw that out too. Because marriage can be mean and dirty. Because it requires forgiveness. And because of that, it is one of the most beautiful things on this earth. Because it models to everyone who encounters it the love of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that love, if you don't have that example of Jesus, then your marriage is not holy. And it's just what? It's just a business contract. Or some intricate form of slavery, right? Legal slavery. That's funny because St. Paul here, he tries to talk about holy marriage, starts off talking about holy marriage, and ends up talking about Christ and his sacrifice. Now, how about that? And here is hope not just for newlyweds, not just for those who've been married a long time, but also for the divorced and the abused and the forgotten. Because here is hope for Gomer. Here is hope for infidels, for cheaters, for failures and sinners, every one of us. So in any case, you've listened long enough, and I have nothing more really to say to you that you don't already know anyway. Only this, but you know it. Christ loves you. He is faithful. He makes marriage. And by his Spirit, he will see you through. God, give us the strength, the courage to love like Hosea, to love like Christ.